living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Salutations, and welcome to Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium section. That's right, for all you Negroes with money that pay to hear podcasting. They said y'all didn't exist, but y'all do. But today, you know, of course, I have a bunch of people with me on Spoiled Movie Reviews, and the motto is always the same. Spoiled Reviews is for people who saw the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about getting no spoilers out there, man. So I'm gonna tell you right now, Will Smith don't even walk the whole movie, just about. So let's go ahead and introduce some people. Of course, as always, to my left, I have the lovely host of Lip Smacking Good, co-host of the Blackout Tips podcast, Karen. What's up, girl?
Hey, everybody out there, how y'all doing?
Mm-hmm. And then we also have a gentleman that was on an early review for Pain and Gain. You should know him as half of the titled participants of the Long and Late movie show. What's up, Late?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing well.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Speaking of Late, I appreciate you hanging out with us this late.
Yes.
And we also have, a man that, you know, like I said, I'm a fan of their podcast too. The FiveStarter.com podcast. It's the homie Bossa. What's up, man?
What's up, dog? Chilling. I didn't know Karen was on.
Mm-hmm.
That's my girl right there.
Yeah.
No offense, Rod.
No problem. Hey, she gets all the
Tegasaurus.
Hell yeah. She's my top three people, dog. Yeah.
She get all the accolades on the show too, man. She won all the awards last year.
I sweep it all.
I can't be mad, dog. Just, as long as she working for me, we working together. So today's movie that we're going to review is After Earth. It's the M. Night Shyamalan directed. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They were not leading with that, but it's the M. Night Shyamalan directed science fiction movie about a teenager named Kitai Rage, who crash lands with his father and a bunch of other people that die immediately on Earth, which we abandoned 1,000 years ago. But they hit that Earth, and apparently everything on Earth has evolved to kill you. From there, we find out that Kitai's father, Cypher, is all fucked up and can't work. So it's up to the power of black fatherhood to save the day and lead Kitai on a journey that spans 100 kilometers in 5 days, man. So let's go ahead and talk about this joint. Here at Spoiled Movie Reviews, we have a very simple scale of measuring movies. We have the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. 0 to 5 are the rankings. 0 being man, fuck you. And 5 being fuck you waiting for. Go see this shit. And then there's the illustrious 6, which has only been granted a couple times, but it's Kev tears because my man Kev cried one time in this movie for Batman Returns. So every once in a while something get Kev tears. So let's go around the room, man. We're going to start with what worked for people and what did, and we'll get what didn't work after this. But, let me start first with, Karen. What worked for you for After Earth?
Will Smith. Will Smith tears was real, and Will Smith tears worked for me. Will Smith being a black daddy and little daddy boy like, boy, are you asking or you telling me, nigga? Worked for me. It was one of those things where I believe the relationship. I believe, you know, he was somebody that was just a hardworking father that was a military man, but because he was so military and so strategic that he kind of lost or somewhat forgot the connection with his son, even though he loved and cared about him. And for me, I like Jaden Smith. I know a lot of people did not like him. You know, Elon said he didn't like his face. I had no problem with the child's face.
Yeah, you're talking about Elon James White from This Week in Blackness.
Yes, I have no problem with his face. Mm-hmm. He acted like a child his age should act. I think overall it was an okay movie.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, Will Smith literally made the whole movie for me.
Okay, so Will Smith really worked for you a lot. What about you, Layton? What worked for you with this movie?
I think it is competently directed. It was directed okay. I thought some of the action was for the most part good. Mm-hmm. And I thought Jaden was okay. So those are the things that I would say I really enjoyed about the movie.
Okay. What about you, Bob? What worked for you?
Well, I'll say off top, I thought it was average or slightly above average. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and say this shit was a beast, because it wasn't. I'm always pretty honest about M. Night shit. That's why I defend him so hard, because I think a lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Visually, like, for me, like, he's up there as far as directors, dog. And the way he builds tension, like, there's a lot of motherfuckers who people suck their dick that I put him up against, and I'd be like, his visuals can't fuck with him, like. Mm-hmm. Namely, Christopher Nolan. Visually, he unfuckwittable. With certain, you want to compare him to certain people that people think like that?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan directs action well. Visually, a lot of his shit comes up short, you know? It looks boring.
Mm-hmm.
The crash scene, like the meteor shower,
mm-hmm.
that shit looked tight. A lot of the shots with Jaden, obviously I know a lot of people are going to say it was filmed like on a soundstage and all of that bullshit. Whatever. A lot of that shit with like the landscape in the background with like Jaden just like chilling on the mountain and shit. That shit looked beautiful, dog.
It did.
Like, dude got an eye. So I think he's lost something with directing actors from Sixth Sense to get that performance out of Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. I think he's lost something with directing actors, but his eye is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that. I like the look of the movie.
Okay.
I thought Will's performance, well, we'll talk about what we didn't like.
Yeah.
I thought Jaden was pretty good. The crucial scene where he basically, like, you know, decides to overcome his fear and continue the mission.
Yeah, he flipped on his daddy.
His father wrong. Yeah, I thought he nailed that scene. Like, that was a crucial scene, and you know, he gave what he needed to give. Like, it was an emotional scene, and I thought he hit the mark.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Yeah, I mean, those are the two main things I liked about it. I really thought Jaden pulled it off. And I like the look of the movie.
All right. I'll add some stuff for what I liked. I like the diversity of the cast, by which I mean, I'm not even just talking about the family, but the people that play other roles. It was like a real good post-racial mix of just motherfuckers being, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, not just a bunch of shiny supermodel motherfuckers like they have in most futuristic movies. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that, man. I also enjoyed the fact that it started a black family just being black, and it never came up, not once.
Nope.
They just happened to be black protagonists. Deal with it. That was good. I thought the sci-fi was understated in a good way, where they weren't trying to just sell you on just the idea, like, and look, this is how we manipulate computers now. And look, this is how we, it was just kind of like shit was there. You understood what it was. Will Smith pulls out a piece of rolled up shit that looks like, you know, it could be anything. Turns out it's a magazine. Shit starts popping up off the screen. I thought that was kind of smooth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the visuals of post Earth was dope to me. Especially some of the stuff they did with the wildlife and how it evolved. I thought that was cool. The pacing actually worked for me too, man, which a lot of people had issues with the pacing, but for some reason, it felt pretty kinetic to me, man. I never really was bored. Especially once they hit Earth, I was absolutely fine, man. I even enjoyed how they started it with, Jaden Smith laying there looking like he was dying. And you like, man, hold up, man. You done fucked up. And you would think that that would be the ending of the movie. And turns out it's just like some shit that happened almost at the beginning of his journey. So it's not even like some type of weird spoiler that's giving everything away. And then the other thing I thought was really important that worked for me was 14-year-old Jaden Smith played it like a 14-year-old would.
Yes.
Because I think in Hollywood, we've grown used to 20-year-old plus people playing 14-year-olds.
Right.
So the emotional range and what they bring to the character is actually more deserved than what a 14-year-old would actually be able to process. And this shit felt like a 14-year-old trying to impress the shit out of his daddy, man. And I bought that shit for the most part, even if I don't think that Jada Smith's the best actor. I just felt like the role demanded a 14-year-old level of, you know, behavior from the dude. And the last thing that worked the most for me is, I love that black fatherhood, man. That shit was good. It was real, real good too. Like, if you look at it, the true hero of the movie is just black fatherhood. That's it. It's just, like, black fatherhood got that boy from that ship to the tail. And it was all from shit that he either learned from his dad or his dad had instilled in him or he did to impress his dad. And it was dope watching. I was often reminded of my own father, man, and just like certain lessons and what fatherhood means in general about how you raise up people to be a certain way. You want to be an example to them, but at some point they got to learn to fly on their own, even if that's to spite you to some extent. And that shit resonated with me for real. One of my favorite scenes is when Jaden is giving up hope because he can't get the locator to work. And Will Smith can see him, but can't hear him. But he can't communicate with him. And he's like, just take a knee, center yourself. And like, you know, Jaden paces around and he's like, takes a knee. It's like, all right, now, you know, you can't get out. You can't get the signal out because of the atmosphere around where you're at. You need to get to higher ground. You're going to have to climb that mountain. And, you know, you see him figuring this shit out, man. And it made me think of my father and how, that's what fathers do is they put you out in the world, but it's kind of like, use what I taught you, figure this shit out, man. To some extent, I almost felt like, someone looking down on you from heaven, almost like, yo, I trained you. You can do this, but you gotta remember everything that I gave you, coming up. So that's what worked for me. Let's talk about what didn't work. Cause even with me saying all that, I still thought the movie was like a 5 out of 10. So, let's talk about what didn't work. And, I'll go back around in the same order. I go with Karen, first.
I think the thing that didn't work, I like Jaden playing the role. And he performed it as a 14-year-old child should have performed it. Mm-hmm. I think some of my biggest issues.
Oh, hold on. We got too much noise in the background. Hold on. All right. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. I think some of my biggest issues was more of the criticism against the movie than anything else. Mm-hmm. That's more of what I had issues with.
Well, we'll cover that after we'll cover it when we talk about Total and Prejudice, because we definitely got to discuss the criticism of the movie for sure.
Okay.
But movie wise, was there anything that didn't work for you?
I think that Jaden's role was good. I think that I agree with you for the fact that I think if a more mature actor would have performed it, maybe a lot of people's opinion about the role would have been differently. But I had no issue really with him playing that role. Like I said, it's not like
I think a Michael B. Jordan would have made it an actual like really good movie.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, even if, like I said, it wouldn't have really been a 14-year-old. He would have known how to make an audience feel like, this dude really came of age, you know?
Yeah, and I think overall, like I said, it wasn't like top as far as, like, I think that maybe it had action in it, but it was one of those things where it was just those two were just like the main two people. And I think, well, maybe if some of the other people may have survived, maybe it might have made, maybe just my perspective, maybe it may have made a difference in their interactions and things like that. And that's about it. Like I said, okay. I don't really give it a high rating, but it's not as terrible as everybody's proclaiming it to be.
Yeah, you don't got to force it. It's cool if you know, if you don't have a lot negative to say, don't worry about it. Layton, man, what all do you have to say that you didn't like about it?
Well, I got to say that the story is, you know, very, very, very slight. You have to really buy into that concept of ghosting, which at first I was like, what the hell? They smell your fear. I was ready to, you know, say, what? Shut the fuck up, man. That's stupid. when I first heard it. But, you know, I kind of went with it at first. But, you know, I kind of went with it. I had to deal with it. So you have to kind of buy into that one. The second thing that I didn't like, it was, I got to disagree with Karen. I don't think Will was very good here. I think Will, you know, I'm kind of the person who likes Will's personality. And for this movie, he kind of has to have, because he's a ghost, he has no personality. He doesn't smile. He doesn't he doesn't have to smile, but he doesn't get angry. Really, he's just, you know, stoic face, no fear guy. And I guess no fear means no emotion. And that's kind of not what I like to see from Will Smith. Mm-hmm. I like to see him have a little bit more emotion. Jaden basically is just, until the very end of the movie, Jaden is just basically running to a location. And that's not too interesting, a premise at time. It happens very quickly. The movie's only an hour and 40 minutes, but I mean, still, the movie's just him, you know, either walking or running in one direction. So that's kind of boring to me.
Okay. What about you, Bob? What didn't work for you?
Well, really jumped out midway through the movie. I hated the pacing. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't enough shit happening. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's a story. That's a function of the story. You know, it wasn't a lot of shit to happen, honestly. Like, the big thing he had to overcome was, you know, outrace a big fucking eagle or some shit, whatever the fuck that bird was.
No, the eagle saved him, man. Eagle saved him.
Yeah, they bonded in the fucking sky, I guess.
He saved the bird, his baby. Was stalking him. Saved the baby, yeah.
Yeah, I found that weird. I was like, what the like, the eagle, I thought it was trying to kill him, but, you know,
I thought it was going to be like a twist that they're actually humans on that planet and they saved him or something. I'd have been like, oh, that's a good twist.
I think dude is done with fucking twists because people hating on him for it. I wasn't expecting no twist. I thought it was going to be straightforward. And it was a, you know, beginning, middle, and end. They got to fucking find this fucking beacon and shoot the fucker into space. Like, that was a story. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't expecting a twist. But, that pacing was horrible. It wasn't enough happening. Mm-hmm. I was like, shit, man, you had a good start here. Well, the first fucking 15 minutes were boring. I wanted to know more about that fucking Ursa. Mm-hmm. Like, the villain, the fucking, you know, the big monster that smells fear or whatever.
Smells fear.
Yeah. Like, I have no problem with that concept, by the way. Like, you know, we've seen that, you know, in horror movies, in other movies. Like, yeah, something smells the fear or whatever, or can sense fear, and they gain power from it and all that bullshit. That's fine. They didn't execute the ghosting shit. The concept was fine. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like the tension was built enough to execute that shit. Where he was, you know, where you can see the idea of ghosting and to look at it as some kind of fucking great power to have.
Yep.
Because they made it seem like Will Smith was the only motherfucker that can do this. Like, this was a great fucking achievement. I would have liked to have seen other motherfuckers try to ghost. And fucking die.
That would have made sense. Predator style, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to see some, like, footage of training because they were like, yeah, we taking this fucking Ursa and we're going to train with this joint. We're going to see who can ghost. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see some motherfuckers try to, you know, walk up to the big fucking thing and be fearless and, you know, get the shaking and shit and the sweat ball drop and they get fucked up. So that didn't happen, and I was like, that's a missed opportunity there. Mm. So they just spent the first 20-something minutes talking about that shit. I'm like, you got to show that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see this thing kill some shit. So that sucked. Will was a fucking blank canvas, dog. Mm-hmm. He wasn't shit but a mouth just moving. Like, his facial muscles were dead.
It was probably the easiest acting role he ever had. He just sits in a chair for, like, what, 2 weeks. He's all done.
Yeah, the shit reminded me of the joint with Denzel and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, the bone, what is it, the bone collector?
Yeah, when he just telling him what to do and shit, and, like, you know, you can't do anything. I mean, it's two completely different characters. Like, Denzel, this hard-ass military soldier-type dude who shows no fear, no weakness or whatever, but you gotta show some kind of emotion. He didn't. I didn't even really see any real fear for his son at certain points. He just kind of lost me. Like, Will can't, I'm not going to say can't, but in this movie, he didn't pull off playing dark. You know what I mean? Like, some people just can just, some actors can go inside themselves and just find a dark spot and pull out that part of their personality. And this didn't show up on screen for Will. And so, he didn't pull it off for me. I felt like if his performance were better, the movie would have been better. There's only two people in this fucking movie. So they kind of needed Will to pull off a performance, and he didn't. So that hurt. That hurt the movie. What else? Yeah, I didn't like the resolution, the big fight scene with Jaden and Ursa. You know, that could have been a little more dramatic. I didn't really sense any fucking real danger. Like, yeah, you know, he got grazed. But got a little hole in his fucking, like, costume there. But I didn't really get the sense that he was in danger. But, yeah, that's it.
Okay. What did you think about that accent that they had?
I was going to talk about that.
Okay.
I thought Jaden's was good. Will's, he was trying to find that motherfucker the whole movie. He was hitting certain words and shit. I'm like, well, getting closer. And then it just sounded like he gave up and he sounded like he was from Mississippi or some shit. And I'm like,
yeah.
It sounded like Costner and Robin Hood, dog. Like, just eject midway through the movie. Just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, that was what killed me too, was I didn't like how Will kind of gave up on his accent, man. Cause he actually was hitting it the first 10 minutes of the movie. But it's like, as soon as he got injured, he dropped that shit, man, to a southern drawl. I was like, man, come on, bruh. Jaden's still putting in work, man. You can't be out here half-assing it, man. That, like, what's funny though is like people trying to say the opposite because they like Will Smith.
Right.
But that's a lie, man. Jaden was acting his ass off. Will was chilling.
It was distracting, dog. Like, yeah, Zoe Kravitz didn't try that shit. She was like, nope, I'm not doing it. It's too tough. what's her name? Sophie Aconito?
Yeah.
Oh, you know her name. Okay.
Yeah, motherfucker, I watch movies. What you trying to say, Layton?
I don't even know her. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no, I've seen her in a lot of shit.
Hey, Bob, tell, what did you call the accent, man? Bostonian or something?
Oh, like Bostonian Australian?
Yeah.
That's seriously what it sounded like. Yeah, he was like, you wouldn't give any other rank to that order.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. Like, that's some new shit.
It has found you.
Yeah, nigga. That's when I thought the movie was gonna be a beast. I'm like, shit, nigga, you hit that accent and he jumped off a fucking mountain. Yeah, that shit excites me.
Oh man.
She's fucking English or whatever, so she has a built-in accent. Americans are stupid. They don't fucking know.
That's future talk right there. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Every motherfucker from the future has a British accent. It's easy. You know, Americans are fucking dumb. Like, we don't know about no fucking accent. Like, you from the future, you don't sound American, so you are not of us, so you must be from somewhere else. And if it's the future, fine. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought, well, he probably could pull off an English accent, but he wanted to try for that futuristic shit, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
It sounded terrible.
Yeah, I will say that, I thought, hold on, I'm getting an echo from somebody, hold on. Mic check. I can't tell who it's coming from. Alright, it's Bob. Hey, Bob, I'm gonna hang up and call you right back.
Alright, bet.
Alright. Yeah, sometimes that happens, guys, get a little bit of a, echo.
You just do it automatically, too.
Yeah, it'll probably go away when I call him back.
Yo.
Yo, alright, cool, let's go. I was gonna say, I thought M. Night was scared. Yeah. With this movie, because I actually wanted him to do the twist. Like, he can't let them talk him out of the zone, man. Like, you can't let them get in your head, man. Sometimes you gotta do your shit. And right. I think this is what that's what this movie was missing, for real. Was just some kind of whatever that had just been, like, if he would have found out that his dad was scared the whole time or some shit, that would have been dope. If he would have been like, look, man, everybody think I'm this hero, but this is the truth. I always was scared, and I don't know why the fuck it won't kill me. Like, something, man. It just, I don't know. It was nothing too, it was so straightforward and short that, when I left, I did feel a little bit like, damn, really? You're not gonna do no twist, man?
Right.
So maybe the twist was supposed to be, it's not a Will Smith movie. But I could have used some more Will Smith fighting. Like Boss said, I don't know why there's not a 10-minute exhibition of like him showing everybody how much of a badass he is. Like,
right.
They only got the one scene where he cuts an Ursa's throat, in the very beginning, and they show it in all the trailers. And if you've seen the trailer, it's that long.
Exactly.
It's like 2 seconds. He just cut one and walked. So,
it's a quick flashback.
Yeah, I wasn't cool with that shit, man. Like, then you could also use that to explain his temperament, man. Cause as far as us as audience members know, we just know him as Will Smith. So we already know his acting range. So when you got him playing a subdued character, you need to explain that shit. It needs to be like, yo, also the reason he's good at ghosting is cause he ain't in touch with his emotions or something. Like, give me something, man. I walked out the movie like, maybe he's just a cold brother.
Well, and also another thing that they didn't really explore is, that much is that, you know, Will kind of blames Jaden for the death of the daughter. Yeah, that's, you know, and you know he's feeling kind of burned about it.
He actually blames him on a deeper level for not dying, because he don't expect that motherfucker could have saved his daughter. It's just like, you a coward, dog.
Right, and you came honor.
Yeah. You came out of my loins and your ass is like a coward, and your sister died in front of you. You ain't do shit. So, you know, shit like that they really could have went into, and it felt like they just stayed out of it, or they covered it real fast. And while some of the shit they covered real fast, I thought was kind of cool. Like when they said the reason the Ursa hangs niggas on trees is to put fear markers to scare you. I was like, oh, okay. That's scientific. I kind of like that explanation.
Right.
But, you know, we could have went into that, man. Like, it felt like they rushed through shit because M. Night was, like, scared, in my opinion, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they were scared to make the movie 2 hours, you know, because this is only, like, an hour 40. It's very, very short movie.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, just everything you just said, it was a lot of fucking subtext in this movie for it to be a summer movie. People don't want to figure all that shit out, dog.
Right.
And also, I mean, like, they basically said that we invaded a planet, and then the people inhabitants of the planet released these Ursa on us. I was like, whoa, that's a big, you know, the Earth people are the invading force on this planet. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even go into that.
And they were saying that, didn't they say that, like, the where they went? Hold on, I might be crossing something up. Didn't they say I think I crossed something, but something else I want to talk about is the sister.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird.
Nice eject. That's a nice ejection.
Yeah, that was, honey, I was about to tank it hard. I was like, no. I probably talked about something very different.
Was you about to say something from Oblivion?
I probably was, knowing me. I was thinking, I was like, wait a minute, I don't think we're talking about the same movie.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kat.
No, you good. You did great saves.
No, you saved it. It wasn't me.
About the sister, how the sister just came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on that raft.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot to mention. I actually like that. There's like when he had them visions and shit. When he was all fucked up, like he was. Hey, by the way, man, this is what the Hunger Games should have been. No offense to the Hunger Games, man, but it's supposed to be about a little white girl out in the woods surviving. And that was the shortest part of the film. It was just mostly fighting and shit. But I wanted to see her brave the cold and figure out how to survive and shit like Jaden was. He was sleeping in caves and shit, man.
Snakes rolling around him.
Yeah, I actually thought that was kind of, that would have been kind of dope in Hunger Games. But anyway, man, the other thing is the cast is so small. It really is like four people long, dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the mom, the sister, Jaden, and Will.
And then some extras, basically.
Right. Like the cat, like nobody really has speaking parts for that much, man. And everybody dies so quick. It's like you don't get to know anybody. You don't feel no loss. Mm-mm. When you find out everybody died except them.
Right.
So that was kind of weird. I think Bob really hit the nail on the head. They got to make ghosting way cooler. You know? It's kind of like when Neo went Neo and finally saw that. You was like, oh, he got it. Now, I needed the Bruce Leroy glow on that nigga or something.
What if they actually showed that story that he told about the first time he ghosted? You know, and he was like, he was fighting that thing, and he got pushed off the cliff.
Yeah, on the water and shit.
Especially, they lost the opportunity because they really could have just made it real smooth if they would have showed Jaden Smith at his last fight juxtaposed with his daddy's fight. Like, he had never seen it, but then you just start showing the flashback for when Will fought the shit. And then, you know, when Jaden's shoulder gets hit, you show that talon that went through Will's show, like, so you can see, like, this is fatherhood, because that's really what the movie is this is what fatherhood is. You go through the same shit, and then one day you realize that he did teach you a lot of shit, and he is an example, he is a role model, even if you didn't realize it. And I don't know, he just lost that opportunity with that shit, man. I'm not used to like I said, I don't even feel like it's on M. Night, but I feel like it's cause so many people hate that dude. He just was scared to be him. So he was like, nope, I can't do that. Cause they're going to be like, oh, he go forcing these twists in and shit.
Right.
So, that's where I would go.
Yeah. And another thing, as far as like the actual fucking story, like, I feel like it was too many fucking cooks in the kitchen, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Will brought the story, and then M. Night and I forgot the other guy's name, co-wrote the fucking screenplay. I honestly
Gary Whitta
would have just took the shit over. I would have been more intrigued to see what the fuck he came up with. I have no doubt it would have been better than this shit.
Yeah,
because the shit was too straightforward, dog.
Yeah, it's the guy who did Book of Eli.
Gary Whitta.
Yeah, thanks, Late. Yeah, I knew it was somebody who did some shit.
Yeah, and that has a twist ending, kind of.
It right. does. I actually fucked with Booker Eli up until the end, but that's a good ass Impossible White Man movie, dog. That shit good.
Yes, it is.
That nigga memorized the Bible, yo. He was blind the whole time. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I had to say that. Go ahead, Bob.
Shit. Honorable Elijah Muhammad could have played that part, didn't he?
That was my shit, dog. That nigga was reading that Braille Bible. Oh, man. He cut niggas' heads off. Oh, man. Denzel killed that shit. So, all right, man. We can't not talk about the controversy with the review, the reviews of it on, like, Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot. We all, seem to be kind of, matter of fact, let's give it the ratings first, and then we'll see where we're on the page. It's 0 to 5 on a More Epic Than Love John scale. Karen, what do you rate this movie?
It's about a 3, 3.5.
Okay, what about you? Wait, let me see, what is a 3.5 anyway? $5 AMC Before Noon special matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about you, Layton?
I'm gonna come down and say like 2.5.
All right, so a 2, 2.5, that's around Save Your Money. No, that's Netflix. All right. What about you, Bob? What would you give this?
I gave it a 3.5, but I think I've dropped it down to a 3 because I really hated Will's performance that much. You know? It fucked the movie up a lot for me.
All right, so
my final answer is a 3, 3 out of 5. All
right, cool. And I also would give it a 2, which is Netflix, but with the caveat, because I don't know who else is sensitive to this, but if you're a big fan of Black Fatherhood, put 2 more points on there, because they really went hard in the paint with that black fatherhood, man. I like my jaw got tight like three times, and it was working.
You hit the head tilt, dog.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now since I'm thinking about it, my point I was going to make before, I'm not going to take this. At least I hope I don't.
Mm-hmm.
When they had went to the other planet, didn't he say that they had been attacked by those things when they had moved, they left Earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have really went into more details about those creatures and about how those creatures was attacking them
right
while they were there. I know, cause, you know, they kept doing the cut scene with his daughter, but I would have really, you know what I mean, like for them to go into more detail with them being attacked and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, a lot of the backstory needed more fleshing out, I think. But yeah, that black fatherhood hit me with that head tilt like three times.
Me too.
I had the one with the take a knee joint, the joint where, he was acting all cold, but then, he got bit. His son got bit, and then he had.
Oh, yeah.
He started showing emotion for the first time in the film.
Actually, I agree with that. That was the first peek into Will's, like, personality, like, coming out and shit. Like, that shit looked real. He was like, that's my son for real, dog.
Yes.
It got too good, man. Like, part of why it worked for me on the fatherhood level is because he went from the stoic, like, this is what a man is, I'm a soldier. And then he hit that, like, I'm about to cry face real hard, like, in 2 seconds. I was like, no. Like, don't. I was like, Rod, don't be no bitch. Don't be no bitch. You know? But he hit me, yeah. And I think the third time was, it was actually the end where he finally made a joke and he hugged that nigga and he gave him that salute. And I was like, they done came full circle.
Right.
So that was cool. But, yeah, so if you are sensitive to black fatherhood like I am, I'm a sucker for it. The shit, I actually almost cried during fucking, Men in Black 3. So.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's got some hot fire black fatherhood.
Yeah, it does.
And, man, I ain't gonna ruin it, but it's like a twist black fatherhood. You don't even see it coming. You'd be like, oh, black fatherhood. And so. That shit was good.
that's how you feeling. And Roger said he's going to talk about this. I was like jumping the whole movie because I don't like the bugs now, outside and outdoors.
Oh, God. Karen was scared of shit, man.
I ain't got the bug on him. I was like, oh, shit. What the hell is that?
She was freaking out at everything, dog.
I don't like outside.
It was shit in the movie that's not even supposed to be scary. It's just like, you got to get somewhere before it's cold, son.
I know.
And then Karen be like, oh, it's cold. Oh, what's that flower doing? Like, it's getting cold, Karen. The flowers is turning in. Stop. Let me go. But, yeah, so I give it a 2 or 4, depending on how much you like Black Fatherhood. Now, so everybody gave it a middling review. Everybody here involved gave it something between 2 to 3. You go on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics are giving this shit, currently 12%. Audiences are giving it 51%, which I feel like is, you know, closer to where what it really is, about somewhere between 40 to 60 for most people. I went and looked at some of these critic blurbs and reviews that they wrote, and it's so snarky, man. Like, it's so many agendas at play right now conspiring to tank this movie, man. The movie only made $27 million. For an opening weekend for a Will Smith film. You know what I mean? That is, I don't know when that's happened.
I still don't understand how it happens. I mean, I thought Will Smith guarantees you, like, you know, 40 million. I mean, Hancock, which was a movie I think is worse than this, opened up better.
Yeah, for the record, Red Tails has a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you want a comparison, anyone that saw Red Tails, that movie is about 3 times better than this, according to these critics. Right. Let me read a couple of these blurs because shit was sticking out to me, man. A lot of this stuff was like really, personal attacks. They were like going in on Will Smith. The critical problem with After Earth is that Smith Jr.'s whiny character has all the likability of an anal fissure. Mm-hmm. Another person said they couldn't relate to the characters. They was white, the characters was black. I'm just throwing that out there. another person said it was a vanity project for Will Smith. Yeah, it is
a vanity project, but that doesn't mean anything. There's tons of people who, you know, tons of Hollywood fathers who get their sons in movies.
Nepotism has always been part of the Hollywood firmament, but it's sunk to a new low with Will Smith's vanity vehicle for his 14-year-old son, Jaden. New low, guys. Because it finally made it to blackness. Let's see. There's other ones too, man.
Did they talk about how they said that somehow this movie has Scientology
imagery in it
or something like that?
Yep, about to get to that next. Oh, it's agendas out here now. But yeah, black nepotism was not cool for number one. Remember that? Nepotism stopped when it went black. The other thing was, there goes, here's Jeff Myers. Is there a more satisfying career implosion than that of M. Night Shyamalan? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you actually admitting that you getting joy out of this, right?
I mean, he has made some bad movies, though.
Yeah, but are we getting joy out of these snarky ass? Like, that's the thing. The review thing now is just turned into how snarky can you be?
Yes.
To get that click, you know? It's the new, well, not the new, I guess, but it's the old, you know, the sites that where it's like, hey, what can we say to get you to click on this? No better than Rebecca Black's Friday video.
Oh, come on.
It is a bought and paid for vanity piece for a spoiled teenager. He a spoiled teenager now?
Was he singing Friday? I don't think he was.
I mean, you can tell how spoiled he is. You hang out with them on the weekends or what, bro?
No. And me and you have talked about this, and my entire issue with this is that most critics are old white dudes, and they are writing for old white dudes. Majority of the audience
White. Actually, we talked about this on the Nerd Off. That's not true necessarily with the internet. Like, the internet has a lot of young hipster white dudes and shit like that, too. It ain't just old white people writing reviews. And the last thing before I move it to everybody else, Scientology, man. People are now just saying anything that's science fiction involving Tom Cruise, Will Smith, John Travolta is Scientology. And if you say, well, name me 10 things about Scientology, they couldn't name 5.
I know I couldn't.
They just know it's something about science. And them. So I'm gonna go around and get everybody's, like, you know, what's your reaction to the reviews on the movie? I'll start with you, Karen.
Back to what I was saying before, that's still, even though I understand what you said about the old white dudes, but majority of these people are white, and that's my whole point. They're white, and they are still talking to a predominantly white audience. So that's why you get, it's okay for nepotism until the Negroes get it. You know, even though I guarantee you, if you go back into a lot of performers' histories, somebody's son, daughter, grandchild is connected to the writer, director, co-writer, producer, somebody, if you go back and looking out into all these people's history. So I don't have a problem with him putting his son on at all, because he has the right to, just like everybody else has the right to. And I also have an issue with people when they are racist without coming out and flat saying that they're racist. Like, the comments are flat racist. And then when you try to call them out on it and say, hey, that sounds racist, everybody want to make you look like you're crazy when you're not. But it's one of those things where, I guess just me being black, and my thing is this, when it comes to movies, regardless of the color of your skin, if your performance is well acted, or even if it's terrible, I think that you can relate to it, and all of a sudden you can't relate to the characters at all, period. You can't relate to a father-son relationship at all, period. Nothing about it at all. And that's why I have a lot of issues with this. And I know a lot of it is coming from being black. You know, a lot of my issues and my gripes with this. And the thing about it is that these same people would have gave Red motherfucking Tails a higher score, and that was some bullshit trying to reverse support a black movie because, oh, I don't know nothing about this, so I better give it a halfway decent score, just like you do motherfucking Tyler Perry movies. You don't want to say the shit is terrible, but yet you'll come around and I hear bullshit criticism about this. That's the problem I have. You're going to be consistent across the board.
All right. Layton, what'd you think about the backlash or for the criticism?
I'm not as angry as Karen is about it, but yeah, I definitely.
Oh, that's like, not even Karen angry, dog. That's just how she talk. I know. Oh,
political. All right.
I live here.
Oh no, but no, sweet. I'm not angry. I'm sorry, sweet. That's just my tone.
Yeah, she just talk like that.
I think it was totally overdone. I think people just want. I don't understand how people can root against a director like M. Night so hard that they. I mean, like they don't want him to ever direct a movie again. I mean, to me, I've liked 50% of the movies M. Night has made, which is a pretty decent amount. And I've always thought his movies have been directed well, even if the story is kind of falters sometimes. So I was never really understood that. I don't understand why people are against Will Smith all of a sudden. I don't understand what he could have done that. Did he become too big? Can he not have his son become as big as he is? Is that not what you would wish for your kid? I don't understand. I just don't understand what caused the vitriol. I really don't.
It's a new low, Layton. It's a new low.
Yeah.
It's like nepotism finally came to the hood or some shit. It's like, we got to move
it
out.
It stops there.
Yeah, I mean, what if Denzel's kid wanted to be an actor or something? Would they be against that also?
I don't know, man. Especially with them trying to say it's undeserved. When I mean, far as I know, Jaden still helmed that Karate Kid flick that made all that money.
Yeah, Karate Kid made a lot of money. Will, you know, it's not as though Will had some scandal that would have caused his next movie to like not make any money.
Right,
and, you know. Tom Cruise is back hitting it, so this can't be that Scientology. I don't know.
And we comparing them to Rebecca Black, though.
Come on, the Friday chick.
Come on, y'all. So, Bob, man, what'd you think about the criticism and whatnot?
Well, before I get to my conspiracy portion, as far as M. Night, because as Layton can attest, I've been on this conspiracy shit that people are out to get this dude for some years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is pretty much the climax of it right here. Like, he got probably, arguably, the number one box office star in the world. And, this shit tanked this badly. But the nepotism shit, like I said, before I get to the conspiracy shit, that shit is like concrete racism to me. Because nepotism is such a part of the Hollywood. It's one of the foundations of Hollywood. Like, there's family. Hollywood royalty is a phrase for a fucking reason, dog. Like, they are families who've made it a business. So, that's bullshit. And the same people who want to shit on Jade now and act like he's not talented were, like, 6 years ago when Will Smith was hot, before people knew he was associated with Scientology at all. You know, because Scientology is a fucking third rail, dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Pursuit of Happiness, these were the same motherfuckers that were like, that little boy should be nominated. Like, he was fucking good. Like, but everybody want to act like that didn't happen. People were talking about Jaden Smith was so good in Pursuit of Happiness, he should have been fucking nominated.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to remember that now, though, dog. Now he has no talent. And just a couple of summers ago, people were kissing his ass as like one of the up and coming stars because he carried a fucking summer blockbuster, a sleeper hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's racism, period. Like, I'm not even going to debate the nepotism shit. Like, anybody who want to have that debate with me subsequent to hearing this podcast, find me on Twitter. I'm not debating it with you. It's racism, period. Now, as far as like M. Night shit, like I said, I've been on this shit for some years. Like, honestly, I had no opinion of this dude until like maybe after Lady in the Water.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any opinion. I thought he made good films. You know, I remember when people liked Signs.
I still do.
You know, until everyone reversed fields and shit. Like, I remember going to see that with some coworkers summer 2002, and I was like, yeah, you know, because he was hot back then, so people pressed me to go see it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go see it with you, whatever. And I thought it was good. But after Lady in the Water, which I didn't like, you know, but I'm a person who's big on fucking fairness. Like, I get really mad when I see some shit that's unfair. And I'm a pop culture junkie. So everyone who knows me know I'll sit in a fucking bookstore and just read magazine after magazine, just devour information, because I want to know what's happening. I want to have my fucking finger on the pulse of the zeitgeist. Like, I'm that dude. I want to know every fucking thing. So, you know, I'm just starting to get, like, some feedback, like, oh, M. Night's some bullshit now. And I'm like, when the fuck did this happen? Like, he's terrible now? Like, I thought he was, you know, the next Spielberg, the next Hitchcock. These were all these fucking superlatives thrown at this dude when he hit with, you know, Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, which some people call the greatest superhero movie ever. Like, this is the same dude who makes shit now, according to some people, who made arguably, at one time, people were describing as the greatest superhero movie ever. Alright? Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I'm like, what happened? So, and people thought I just created this agenda out of thin air. Mm-mm. I'm like, well, when M. Night hit, there was another up-and-coming director who was in a fucking slump and who was left for dead. His name was Quentin Tarantino. Now, you know Quentin Tarantino fans ride hard. Mm-hmm. They love this motherfucker. This motherfucker went through a 7-year slump from Jackie Brown, which was a can of shit. Mm. Some people might like it. It was bad. And coming off of Reservoir and Pulp Fiction, when he made that shit, people were like, I don't know. Like, he might not be that good. So he put his tail between his legs and like, I'm taking a break or whatever. Nigga went back to the drawing board, came back with a blonde ninja and shit. His fans sights, and I was like, yeah, that really didn't hit. And so, like, it's kind of like they crossed paths. Like, as Tarantino came back to prominence, M. Night shit went down. Like, there's no room for these two up-and-coming next great directors. Like, both of them received equal amounts of fucking hype. Tarantino was for the hipsters and for, like, classic Hollywood. The way M. Night, like I said, his visuals and the way he built suspense, people were like, he's harkening back to fucking Hitchcock and a young Spielberg. Like, this dude is the next guy. And a lot of people didn't like that shit. So when there was an opening to shit on this dude, people have taken it and they've overdone it. Like, it's bizarre to me. So I started defending this dude. I'm like, well, hold up, dog. Like, the dude who made them movies that people love, he's some shit now. Like, he never had any talent to begin with. So I go back and I'm looking at early reviews and shit of, like, you know, Unbreakable and Signs and all that shit. And they're good. And then there's, like, subsequent rankings from the last 6 years. All of his movies have gone down on IMDb, on Metacritic, and Rotten Tomatoes. Down from the original, you know, whatever, 20 to 30, back when, you know, the internet wasn't as big and shit. Because so many more people are following up now, you know, the aggregate has now taken a percentage down. Like, once you account for all the negative reviews of just fucking haters. So it's like his entire history has been rewritten. And it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever fucking seen in pop culture, dog. Like, this shit really annoys me. Like, if he never makes another movie again, I don't give a fuck, because, like, I wasn't, like, pressed for the dude. I just defend him on pure fairness.
Right.
You know, just like I defend, you know, Tyler Perry on just fairness. Like, he gets to be a shitty filmmaker, just like Kevin Smith gets to be a shitty filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Just like Adam Sandler.
Right.
Yes. That's the white Tyler Perry.
Right. I don't hold him to any particular standard because, like Chris Rock said, we'll know when we're all equal when black people get the right to fucking suck and nobody want to talk about it.
That's right.
Like, yeah, so just fucking suck. I don't care.
Nope.
Like, it makes me no difference. So, but yeah, back to M. Night, man. Like, the standard he's held to now, he's going to have to make pretty much the best movie of any particular year, dog. Whenever movie comes out that gets him out of these fucking doldrums, it's going to have to be hands down an Oscar nominee, Oscar worthy movie. Mm-hmm. Period. He's going to have to go back to that level where people were putting him on back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, when people thought he was the next great director.
He should maybe take a couple years off, I think.
Oh, he got to take a couple years off. I know he's doing some TV shit, so he'll be getting some checks, but he has to go back to the drawing board and blow people away.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this before. Like, literally, they promoted this movie by making sure you didn't know he did it.
And I did.
Right. I've never seen anything like that before. I'm trying to think of another director that had the don't put his name on it label. I can't think of one.
Right. That's crazy.
He didn't direct it, but it's one of those things where they didn't even announce that Tyler Perry produced The Peoples.
Nigga, he's doing press overseas. He not even doing U.S. press.
Wow.
This motherfucker in Manila or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, no bullshit. I mean, like, why did he even hire him if they're just going to hide his name like that? It's like, they know he can direct. He has such a negative reputation.
He's skilled, man. He's very skilled. I think, as a person that I walked into this movie, I'm not an M. Night fan pretty much at all. The only thing that I really was mad at him about though was, fucking the Avatar movie, The Last Airbender. But that's only cause I love that cartoon. Yes. That really ain't really like, even though he fucked up the movie.
Yeah, I was angry with him about that one now.
Yeah, I love that cartoon. Unlike people that hate M. Night, I don't go to see most of his movies. So it's like it's kind of like the Tyler Perry thing where I'm like, I enjoyed The Sixth Sense. I enjoyed the shit out of Unbreakable. I didn't like Signs that much. And then people started talking bad about the other movies. And I was like, okay, I'm cool. You know, I didn't even go see The Happening. I don't even do that shit. Like, if I think I'm not going to like something, I don't go see it.
Me either.
Yeah, I'm not into this fucking, I'm not a masochist where I'll be like, I don't like you anyway, sign me up for two tickets. That's that hate shit.
Yep, and my thing too is like, for me, I gotta know me, and I'm not a fan of his. Like, I like The Sixth Sense, but then the rest of it was just too scary for me, so I was like, fuck that, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, he does build up tension good, but yeah, so I thought the hate has been kind of unexplainable too, man, especially considering that people will be like, I don't like him, and then go see the next movie.
Right.
So it's really like, well, what y'all expected? And now that it's been so long since I seen one of his movies and I saw this, I was mad that they broke him, man. Like, he felt like, man, fuck it, dog. This is a straightforward story. This what y'all say y'all want. Leave me out of this shit. And that shit gotta hurt, man. The fact that he basically kept his name out the movie. You said he not even doing press in the U.S. Like, that shit gotta hurt, man. I don't know what he can do to fix that. Even a couple years off don't really, it can't really fix it. Like Bob said, he almost gotta make the best movie of all time just to get back on in the game.
Exactly. He does, man. He gotta come with some, it's gotta be box office, it gotta be a box office hit, and it's gotta be a critical smash, dog.
I think he still has you know, probably with Disney, because they did his early movies. Maybe they still give him a chance to do another movie.
I don't know, man. Unless he's doing
he still has some chances going.
Maybe he gotta do that shit pro bono or some shit, dog. I just don't know how the fuck. I don't know. It's like they trying to destroy this dude, man. And half the reviews, because I talked about the nepotism and the Scientology, but like a good half of the reviews really just have a snarky comment about just M. Night in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and like I said, like, it's all conspiracy. This is just what I think. I'm like, what's the motivation behind that shit? Mm-hmm. I remember when it started, and I'm like, why though? Like, why do they hate... It just can't be based on merit. Because it's a lot of filmmakers who deserve to be hated, you know, with the same or more, because they're actually awful filmmakers, mm-hmm. amount of vitriol, like, consistent vitriol. Like, people shit on M. Night when he don't even got a movie coming out, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a thing on movie boards and shit. Like, let's just shit on M. Night. I'm going to create a thread, like, let's just shit on this dude.
Yep. Meanwhile, Tony Scott died last year. Everybody was celebrating his movies. And he got way more.
Made some shit movies, yeah.
Yeah. And I heard people damn near about to cry over that shit. And I was like, huh, that's odd that y'all sizing these movies up that much. Because I saw a lot of these movies. And these shits, like, it was like I wasn't even paying attention to who directed it. But once they start saying the name, I was like, oh, that explains why I don't fuck with why those movies weren't good. If I had known right. that shit, I wouldn't have saw them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
it's funny because I don't think that The Sixth Sense was supposed to be a fucking box office smash. It's not that kind of movie. It just tapped into something, and you know, people were into it. Like, people wanted to see it. And then he became a brand. And so, you know, he did it again and shit. Like, I guess he had that in the chamber, though. Unbreakable. He was already working on that.
Yeah.
So people were checking for him. So that was critically received. Like, people loved that shit. And, it did okay at the box office. I don't even think it broke 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was supposed to. Like, dude makes this kind of, it's almost art house, the way he builds tension. Like, his movies are real quiet.
I would call it...
It's not a lot of action and shit in his movies, so I don't know why people think he's some big budget type dude.
I go so far as to call it noir.
I mean...
Right.
Yeah, he's like Alfred. He's supposed to be like Alfred Hitchcock, kind of, you know, tension. It's more about the tension than what happens in the story. Because that's what's really works for me with Signs is, you know, I'm not a big fan of the ending of Signs, but I thought pretty much all the way until you see the alien, it's a super scary movie. I was like, I was on the edge of my seat there, so.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It was like a small budget movie.
Yeah, mad attention on that shit.
Yeah, I mean, this might, you know, all the shit he's going through and shit, it might be for, you know, ultimately for the best, because it's going to send him back to more intimate storytelling. This big budget shit just ain't him, dog. He don't need this level of attention on him. He don't need people expecting, like, his movies to do 200 mil. And I kind of fell into that trap because his movies always make money. But now that he, this is his first official fucking, like, bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a fucking bomb, dog.
Because no matter how much the other movies were hated, they still made money.
Yep.
Avatar made money.
Right.
Avatar made money, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if this shit bombs overseas, that's the only thing that can save it now. And it's got to do like fucking 500 million overseas to break even.
Wow. That's what they were saying. They were saying that they're anticipating this movie making more money over there. But it's one of those things where you're like, I agree. He does need to actually go back and actually start from scratch and makes, and it's almost like he wasn't in love with this movie, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, he wrote it, but this wasn't like his work per se, like all
of this. It's because Will Smith said, hey, M. Night, I got this idea for a story. Can you guys write a script for me based on this idea I have? That's basically what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you didn't feel any passion for it because it wasn't his story.
And he seemed scared. Y'all, so, hey, if y'all was rooting for it, y'all won. Y'all got him. Yeah. Y'all made him scared.
Right. And real quick, the other point I had, as far as like, I thought it would make money, but I honestly didn't account for. I knew M. Night was going to get shit on. Like, that goes without saying. If you've been on Earth the last fucking 6 or 7 years, you know people going to hate this just off GP because his name attacked. I did not expect this Scientology shit to stain Will Smith as much as it has. I was like, this shit got Will in. It's going to do 200 mil. Nah, that Scientology shit is real, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, there I go again with the unfairness shit. Like, this is people's belief. I don't give a fuck because I'm not religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do they get to be shit on like they do? And pretty much hate it. This is discrimination, dog.
Yep.
People get to say their little jokes and shit. Like, you can go on a Tonight Show and run off a rack of fucking Scientology jokes and be applauded. Like, you'll be on all the fucking daytime shows and shit like, oh, did you see what so-and-so said about Scientology? That was pretty funny. You say some shit about Judaism, Catholicism, Islam,
Christianity.
Mm-hmm. You'll get fried, yeah.
You'll be called a bigot. That's why I've been saying for like a couple weeks, actually, since we talked about Oblivion, the Scientology shit comes off to me as pure religious bigotry, dog. People ganging up on these dudes because they got a quote-unquote funny religion.
Right.
And they don't even know what it means or what it's about. They just laughing and partying on hoping they fail in these movies, man. It's such a basic-ass, ridiculous, petty hatred, man. Like, even... Tom Cruise doesn't catch it as bad as Will as far as people not paying for movies.
He did for a while, though. He did for a while.
But
he just got back in the good graces just last year, dog.
Not just, but check it. Oblivion was immediately called Scientology, dog, just because it was sci-fi. Like, they tried to...
Space, nigga.
They tried to break that movie, dog. They tried. It made 88 mil domestic. But they tried to break dude, man. I didn't hear anything. Like, soon as people said this movie was out, the first few reviews, you know, it's all about promoting Scientology propaganda. It's all Scientology. I'm like, well, name what Scientology about it. Well, I don't know much about Scientology. Man, fuck you.
Right. Like, for real, you know, the fucking Purge is coming out and shit. I honestly feel like certain things are just like cultural release valves for all the bigotry and hatred that people have fucking built up, and Scientology is one. Scientology is a big fucking purge for all the bigotry and shit Americans feel just on a day. They can't be as racist as they want.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be as anti-Semitic as they want. They, you know, they can't be as, you know, anti-Christian as they want. But Scientology, I'm taking out all my shit on you. Mm-hmm. Like, I get to hate you as much as I want, so I'm a party on you. And that's what it seems like Scientology is taking the brunt of all of this shit.
Yeah. This shit's stupid.
You know, Scientology and you know, the American Indian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah, great grandma.
Yeah. Johnny Depp gonna play, you know. It's cool.
Right.
But yeah, man. So, yeah, that basically, I just wanted to get Bob's take on that specifically because I know that he always has a lot to say about the M. Night stuff. And this is the first time I really got to hear the full fleshed out conspiracy, man. I'm digging it. I'm about to run with this.
Me too. I agree.
I'm about to run with this shit. And I like Tarantino and I'm about to run with it. That's how good it was. I was like,
yeah, no, it didn't. Like, a lot of people on the OKP board just thought I pitted those two against each other for no reason. And I'm like, no, like, M. Night kind of took Tarantino's spot in the late 90s and early 2000s. Tarantino was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his fans were, like, fiending, like, we got this M. Night motherfucker people sites, and, like, you got to come back. And M. Night fans were like, nope, I got good. He the next Spielberg and shit. And so when Tarantino finally came back, all of these fucking nerds and shit got on their computers, started blogging and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wrap, dog. Because, you know, we all know mainstream media don't fucking influence taste anymore. It starts at a grassroots level with blogs and shit. And
yeah.
So, yeah, all these fucking nerds and hipster film critics and film students and shit that grew up on Tarantino, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
This shit was not spontaneous, dog. Like, it honestly feels coordinated.
Yeah, it's very targeted.
Yeah, it's like a big-ass hipster Borg, dog. Like, I'm taking this motherfucker down.
Hipster Borg, I love it. Yo, and the craziest thing is, like I said, I like Jackie Brown, but it's one of those times where I look at something I like and go, but what the fuck are you in the theater for? There's no way you like this. Mm-mm. Like, you just like Tarantino.
Right.
Cause there's like all that black shit that was in that movie. Don't
come on, dog.
What the fuck you know about some, up across 110th Street? Yeah, right. Exactly.
Next they're going to say that they like Death Proof or something like that.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. People act like Tarantino flawless, man. That shit
when
crazy.
Death Proof drop, you couldn't get any Tarantino fan to just admit it was bad. That's his, you know, as much as I don't even shit on Tarantino. Like I say, he's a good filmmaker. I think he's incredibly overrated and I think he gets by on quote unquote coolness a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Like, people are just afraid to, like, say some shit don't work for fear of saying they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, obviously he's talented. But you couldn't get anyone to say, like, that's his official, like, no holds barred, no excuses, no cop and pleas. That's a bad movie. Certain motherfuckers will not just admit it, dog. They will say, you don't get what he was going for.
Yeah, making excuses.
Right. You didn't get the subtext, like it was pulpy. I'm like, nigga, if I caught those kind of pleas for the fucking Happening, like, oh, it was supposed to be a B horror movie. Like Marky Mark was supposed to be flat like that. It was supposed to be a play on how stupid horror movies are.
Right.
I couldn't cop those kind of pleas, dog. I don't even bother.
Especially when the other side of that fucking grindhouse was Robert Rodriguez doing that shit way better than he did.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you want to talk about feeling like you going to a double feature in a fucking drive-in, Rob hit that shit exactly on the note. Everything that was supposed to be corny over the top was good. And then he did it again in Machete to show y'all niggas it was not an accident. I don't see how you can even make an excuse for Grindhouse, Death Proof. I really don't see.
Man, that shit was disgusting, man. That's terrible. Just completely pimped out Sidney Poitier's daughter. Like, she was just all in the motherfucker, just scantily clad and shit, acting horribly. She ain't been in shit since, dog. I'm like, how are you gonna pimp out Sidney Poitier's daughter, dog?
All right, man, let me wrap this up, man. Look, check for both of these dudes. If you love what you just heard from Bob, man, you should listen to 5star.com podcast, because even if they talk sports for like the first hour, like the next two is just partying on different topics.
Yep.
You never know when you're gonna get some profound stuff like you just heard today. And then of course, man, make sure you guys check out the Long and Late Movie Show. Also a great podcast, man. Mm-hmm. Very funny. And they talk movies, man, but it's with a certain level of like they're not taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And it makes it much more enjoyable to see people that don't mind giving an opinion, having an opinion, but aren't going to fight each other after the fucking podcast is over.
Yep.
Right. Plus, man, what I want to know, man, do y'all have a rule about bringing up old shit? Because y'all real good about not being like, but you thought this shit was going to be good, and it sucked.
I have a spreadsheet with everything that we've rated, so I can probably go back and bring that up.
And you just never do, man. You a better man than me, bro.
Yeah, I was about to say, because late, he be popping up with shit like, nope, you said this was going to make this amount of money. And Longo be like, oh, I did? Then you like, yep.
Yeah,
you said it, dog.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would be bringing up shit all the time. Like, nah, you was looking forward to this shit. Now it's whack. What happened? But, yeah, man, make sure you guys check them out too, man. Once again, thanks for listening to the Blackout Tips. This is a long version of, we didn't expect it to be this long, but it was so good. We leaving everything in. So Thanks for checking our review of After Earth on Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Test Premium Network. We appreciate everybody taking time out to listen, pay for this shit, because you didn't have to do that, and now I get to stay my ass at home during the day. All right, man, we'll talk to y'all later. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.